What's up, gentlemen? This is Rising Phoenix Podcast, a podcast about how to rise up after your divorce. I'm your host, divorce coach, Michael Rhodes. Let's get into it. Joining me today is Jared. Jared, let's jump right into it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your divorce journey? How long ago did it start? How long were you married? All that kind of good shit.
So I'm Jared Sharp. I'm from Southeast Idaho. I've got four kids from my marriage, and I was married for 6 years. And yeah, it ended abruptly, and I got blindsided. My journey started August 13th of 21, and I was officially divorced January 5th of 22. So, like I said, I got blindsided by the whole thing. She came home from work on the 13th, and I could tell something was off. And so I came out and talked to her, and I'm like, well, what's going on? And I don't know how to start. I'm like, well, just start at the beginning. And she just, I want a divorce.
Wow.
And okay. And of course I was distraught. I end up sleeping in my truck at my brother's backyard that night to get away. And I had a family reunion the next day as well. Ooh. So horrible reunion for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what, I mean, after that sort of initial shock, or I guess in that initial shock, what was your mental state? You said you kind of left, slept in the truck. Like what, how were you for the next couple of weeks to months? Like what, where was your head at?
So the first day I was in fix it mode, what can I do to help this? I brought up counseling and all that, and I got shot down. And then I got super depressed. I started having panic attacks, which I'd never dealt with before. Just trying to pick out a shirt for my boy. I end up wandering around Walmart for 30 minutes, leaning on my cart, trying not to pass out.
Shit.
And, you know, I accidentally got drunk one time and realized, ooh, this is a very slippery slope for me. And so that was my first major hurdle, is trying to take care of an alcohol addiction, which I'd never had that issue before.
Oh, so did you lean on drinking pretty heavily in the beginning then, or did you have one incident and you're like, I gotta avoid this?
I had one incident with it. It was after I dropped off the kids at her house. I went to the bar and there were a bunch of people that knew me there and knew what was going on. So everyone started buying me drinks, and she ended up asking to come pick me up and take me home that night.
Oh shit.
Oh, it was very rough. And for me, it's knowing my mindset and how I work. And so where it scared the shit out of me, I put my whiskey on my wood stove where I could see it every morning. And I proved that my mind is stronger than my addiction, and I control it. It does not control me.
I like that.
And so I went cold turkey for 3 months.
Nice. Man, there's some stuff there I'm going to dig into later, but the self-awareness is pretty awesome. Did she move out? Did you move out? Like what was that scenario? How did that play out?
So 2 days after she left, I confronted her at work because she always tried to avoid the conversation. And a little bit of background on her. She has BPD, which is borderline personality disorder. Yeah. 3 weeks prior, we had a serious suicide attempt from her as well.
Oh, jeez.
So there's a whole nother thing I could get into.
Yeah.
But when I confronted her, I told her, I'm like, okay, so I see it one of two ways. Either you're trying to push me away so you don't feel as guilty off in yourself, or you're screwing somebody. And by the look she gave me, I asked her, all right, who are you screwing? And so she'd been cheating on me. She started cheating on me the day before we left for our anniversary trip.
Jeez.
Which, that was the same weekend she had her suicide attempt.
A lot of guilt there on her part then, I guess.
Yep. And as soon as I found out she was cheating on me, I told her she'd never sleep in my house again. And she went and got a hotel room with her boyfriend, and I've been in the house ever since.
So she left the kids then, I'm guessing?
Yes.
And then so did you did you file? Did she file? Like, what? Take me through that scenario. So you know, she's in the hotel or whatever, so she's gone. What's the next step then? Did you do anything legally?
I tried to do a protective order in September. I started the process in August and was trying to get that because I was in fear for my kids due to her mental condition.
That makes sense.
And I got stomped in court on that one because she hadn't directly threatened anybody in 60 days. So they said it doesn't matter.
Interesting. So, so the protection order didn't go through.
No.
Okay. So then what was your next step then? Did you file for custody, file for divorce? Like, what did you have to, did you do any of that kind of stuff?
I kept trying to fix things for another couple of months. I was so wrapped up in my grief, I couldn't see the forest through the trees. This is the person I love. I don't know what I've done wrong. I don't know how to fix this. And I continued to try and fix it until November 4th of 21.
What happened then?
My boy had a appointment, a eye appointment, and he was very sick, 103 degree temperature. And she took him down to this appointment anyway, and he wasn't able to get it done because I was stuck at work. And so they denied him, and we got his medication ordered back in Preston, which is about a three-hour drive. And instead of bringing him right back to get his medicine, she went and screwed around in Lewiston for a while and tried dragging him to a park and all that.
What the fuck?
Which, that was the point where I hit, okay, I'm all in now. It's on.
Do you think she was just fucking incompetent or just out of her mind? Like, what would lead a person to not tend to a kid with 103 degree fever? No, in your opinion.
I think she was trying to prove that she's the fun parent and look how much fun we can have together.
I see.
Yeah, so it ended up being, his medicine was ordered at 10 a.m. She didn't get back till town till 7 p.m. that night where we could actually get him his medicine.
Jeez.
And that was the breaking point for me of, yep, I want this too. I'm done.
Yeah. So it was almost like a defense mechanism for your kid at that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
That helped me snap out of my depressive state and get into my pissed off shit needs to be done.
And gosh, take me through that. Was that like a lightning quick decision? Was that like a, did you struggle after? Like, I don't know. Or were you just like, nope, fuck this. This is it. I'm good. This is going to happen now.
I had my moments of doubt, but generally it was a quick switch because that's also my self-awareness. I get depressed first. But once I hit the pissed off stage, that's when things are getting done.
I like it. Okay. So then at that point you filed for divorce and custody or what were your next steps?
So I started hunting around for a lawyer, which at that time, divorce rates had spiked because of the pandemic and all that. So it was hard for me to get a hold of a lawyer. And so, go forward to December 3rd of 21 is the day that she was actually served with papers. And she showed up against our custody agreement we had between ourselves and was just taking my kids anyway. But she forgot that my twins were in school. And so my mom, they were over there at the time. She called and let me know what was going on. So I took off work early and I was waiting for her at the house. Got somebody that could come and serve her paperwork, and we just sat and waited for her. And when she got to the house, she just blew into the door, grabbed my twins by the hands, and tried taking them out, and was just screaming at me the entire time. And I blocked the door. I wouldn't let her leave with my kids.
Yeah.
And she started accusing me of trying to kidnap her and all this shit. I'm like, no, you're welcome to leave, just not with my kids.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I called the police. And as I'm on the phone with the police, she's screaming at me the entire time, to the point the dispatcher told me to tell her to shut the hell up because she can't hear me.
So that, I mean, I laugh, but I'm sure it wasn't funny at the time, but that had to help your cause, right? Like, clearly, because I think there's this, I think it's a bit of a myth, although there are obviously are some truths in it, but when you involve the law or the courts, men automatically get screwed. Like, it doesn't matter. And so in this case, that had to, whether or not that's true or not, I don't think it is, but let's put that to the side. When she's screaming and yelling and acting like a fucking maniac, that has to help you. Did the cops know, did she behave that same way once they got there? How was their demeanor when they arrived?
The problem is, I'm from a small town, and the responding officer was her childhood friend.
Oh.
So I end up getting kind of screwed on that. So had this guy serve her with the paperwork in front of the cop, and the cop flat out lied in his police report, and oh, he just mentioned to me that he had her served that day.
Huh.
And then when it came to court stuff, I was trying to get the body cam footage and all that, and they deleted everything.
Ah, sons of bitches.
So that ended up being an uphill battle for me, but I still had the dispatch recording of her screaming at me.
There you go. Okay. All right. So we're probably getting ahead of ourselves here. I'm probably getting us ahead of ourselves. Okay. So, were you arrested for that incident, or what happened? Was she able to take the kids? Like, what happened that?
So legally they couldn't do anything against me because there were no legal grounds for her to take the kids where there wasn't an official custody agreement with the courts.
Makes sense.
But because I don't want my kids separated from each other, I let her take the twins because she already had the youngest two.
I got you.
And so my mom played mediator on that. And okay, she called her since she was pissed off at me, and we came to an agreement. And so for the next month, I started playing very nice where I had served her with paperwork, not create waves, let her get complacent. Because I started viewing it as a chess match. She isn't my enemy, but she is my opponent.
Oh, I love that. Oh, man, that's awesome.
The other thing that I loved about it is my ex-wife didn't know how to play chess.
Well, I mean, and we'll get to that. I think we'll see that. So then did you file for custody at that point? Like immediately after? You said, you know, you sort of kind of played the game. Did you wait? Like, how did you eventually file for custody?
So the custody was all in my divorce paperwork. I had all that filled out and gave it to her at the same time.
Gotcha.
I spent 2 weeks using Google, going through it with a fine tooth comb. I had all the schedule and everything figured out. And I still don't have a lawyer at this point. I had one scheduled, and my appointment with him was a week after I had her served with paperwork. And when she left, she made the mistake of leaving 20 years of psychiatric paperwork in my house.
So you were able to do all that.
Yep. And I played it very nice. When I finally got into my lawyer, I brought him everything. And okay, I've got this and this. And my state, you can legally record with a one consenting party.
Interesting.
As long as it's not somewhere expected to be private.
Gotcha. So that probably
helped you. I was recording everything. And by the time I got to my lawyer's like, who'd you have help you with this? It's actually very well thought out and in depth. Like, me, I'm pissed off, so I'm figuring shit out as I go along, and I'm reading up on everything.
So was your mental state at this point mostly pissed off and focused, and I'm sure you probably had other, you know, the roller coaster, I'm sure didn't stop, but was that your main emotional state, was anger?
My main one was determination. My role model through the thing was Spock. It's my inner nerd coming out. Spock relies mostly on logic, but he does have emotion.
Sure.
And my kids couldn't afford me being emotional at the time. And so I relied mostly on logic. When I was by myself, I had my moments of doubt where I broke down and I was crying really bad. And, you know, still suffering the panic attacks. And, but the depressive states got less and less. I started relying on my anger a bit more and using it in a constructive way.
Yeah, I always say anger can be good if you use it as a fuel. Otherwise, it's a waste. So it sounds like you did that, which is awesome. During those moments of those, like those lulls, those dips in the roller coaster, did you reach out, or what, did you kind of keep to yourself and try and deal with all the pain and the sadness by yourself?
I tried to keep to myself. It would hit points where I would be stuck in bed for a while. And so I started setting myself a daily goal when I was struggling to get out of bed. Like, today I'm going to put my socks away. And sometimes that's all I accomplished that day is, all right, I got my socks done. I hit my goal. I can be content.
Nice. That's smart, man. I mean, that's that speaks to your perseverance for sure.
More.
So what, I mean, where does that come from? Where do you think that you, have you always sort of been a resourceful, resilient kind of guy? Is that just who you are? Or is that something you were like, I got to figure this out?
It was, I got to figure it out. And so I was trying different methods, and that was the one that worked the best for me.
Yeah. Amen. That's one of the things I teach. It's that I don't think there are, I mean, there are certain universal truths and whatnot, but I think everyone's different. So something, you know, that worked for me might not work for you and vice versa. So I love your mindset there. Okay. So you, eventually, so what was the custody at that point? How much did you have and how much did she have?
So at that point, she was taking them every other weekend from Friday through Sunday.
Okay. And was that what was in the agreement, or is that what you guys agreed to? Or I mean, is that what was in the divorce? Okay. And when you, because you had the, you said it was all in the paperwork already. What did you have in that paperwork in terms of custody? Was that what you had at that point too?
No. So, week before I had her served with paperwork, she blew up on me and tried taking the kids a couple days early for her weekend. And well, technically your weekend starts on Thursday, so, and the weekends technically don't start till Saturday, and it was a whole fight. And she threw a big stink about it, so I put in the paperwork, okay, you say weekends don't start till Saturday morning, so that's why I put in the paperwork. So, because she made me mad, she lost herself some more time too.
So, okay, and then so eventually, you go to court and you win, right? Isn't that essentially what happened?
Yeah. So, I gave her an extra 2 weeks to do her paperwork and whatnot, and she never replied to me. And so, I end up winning by default. I did my default paperwork. And so, I was officially divorced January 5th of 2022. By default.
Holy shit, that was pretty quick, huh?
When I get determined, I make sure I get things done.
I like it. Okay, so if I remember, I don't want to jump ahead, but it just popped in my head. Didn't she try to go back to court to annul the divorce, essentially?
Yeah, and that started 2 months after that.
So 2 months later, she decides. Now, did she do this because she didn't like the custody terms? It sounds like where you're at, custody and divorce is all kind of wrapped up into one. Is that sort of the case?
Yeah.
Okay. And so
her mom was the driving force on a lot of things for her to try and get more custody. And she was the one funding my ex-wife.
I see.
And I was trying to do it all on my own.
Sure. So she 2 months later, she tries to get it changed, and she was shot down, correct?
It took another 3 months after that.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, I'm getting emails from my lawyer that, oh, hey, they're filing this motion and this motion to try and annul the divorce. And then she handed me her own paperwork of this is what the custody is going to look like and all that.
Right.
And tried serving me with divorce papers at the same time.
She doesn't, no offense, but she doesn't sound too bright.
It helps having a dumb opponent. wisdom has always chased her, but she has always been quicker.
Oh, buddy, that, there's some lines that are going to come out of this one. I love that one. Okay, so at what point did you start sort of, maybe you didn't, and maybe you did it sort of at the same time, but what did you, when did you sort of focus on your mental health and trying to get away from the determination? I mean, once the things are finalized, so to speak, like, what was your, maybe that's the question, what was your mental state then, when did you sort of start focusing in on, and again, maybe you're doing it at the same time, your mental health?
I was doing it a little bit at the same time, but after the official divorce date is when I really started. It was then that I actually found your Discord, and I was in the Discord meeting 3 days after, that was my first meeting.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, everything was all right in line together with everything.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I don't know if you mind, but I just... Just a little side here, like that speaks to all things happen for a reason. There's perhaps a higher power. I know a little bit about you, and I don't want to say anything that you don't want to say, so I'll let you speak for yourself. But was there any kind of that in your journey? Did you lean on a faith? Did you use that as sort of a guide, or did that bring you hope? Any of those kinds of things?
No, for me, I mostly listen to music. And, you know, I was at a point where I was avoiding things that really set me off. But the one song that was my mantra for the previous 6 months was from Trolls, "You can knock me over, but I will always get back up again."
I love it.
And so I listened to that one pretty religiously through everything of, yeah, I've been knocked down, but I'll always get back up.
Was that something again, I think I sort of asked this earlier, but was that a part of you always, that mentality, or do you think you developed it along this journey?
I think I developed it as I went along. And then one of the other things I was doing through the process was reprogramming my brain.
How did we do that?
I used to be a bit pessimistic. And now in the group, I'm more known as the silver linings guy. And so the example I always use is I went over the canyon to see my buddy one day. And as I'm driving through the canyon, I lose radio signal. So it's dead silent in my truck. And I, of course, turn to talk to my wife and she isn't there. But for about 5 minutes, it set me off. But this was the turning point for me where I really started focusing on my silver linings. And I always tell people it doesn't matter how small and stupid the silver lining is, you can always find some.
True.
The one I got out of that one is, well, I don't have to haul her fat ass around anymore, and I'm saving that much in fuel. Horrible silver lining, but I found it.
I love it. Well, it speaks to doing the work, right? Because you could have just spiraled and then, you know, come out of that situation or that moment and just been like completely depressed or angry or whatever. But you did the work, the mental work of like, okay, how can I find the positive in this? I mean, that's so important.
Yep. And for me, it's a way of reprogramming my brain is now I find silver linings so easy. And in a way I had to kill who I was, because the old me with the mindset I had, I was not going to survive this. And so for lack of a better term, I had to commit mental suicide and start at my base.
And what did you lean on any books, podcasts, people, Instagram followers, or whatever?
I had my aunt and my brother, who have both been divorced. I listened to a few podcasts, and I read No More Mr. Nice Guy.
There you go. Okay.
And so I had the whole identity crisis of, I don't know who I am anymore. I just essentially destroyed my mind. And so I started viewing it like a pyramid. Mm. And all right, this is my core belief, is my family. So that's part of my building block. Yeah. And I slowly built it up from there. And as I was going through my day, I'd figure something out and, oh shit, there's Jared again. That's part of me. That's going in my building block. Man, and so I had to completely reinvent myself.
Is there how hard was that? Like, how would you describe that task or that mission?
It takes a long time. It was very difficult. The beginning steps of doing it that way were painful, and it's not easy to do.
Yeah.
And so that's what I found, is focus on four core beliefs of who you are as a person and what you absolutely believe in. And that's your focus. And as you go about your day, you're going to start finding more, and you can start building your identity again of who you are.
What was your why? Like, I think this is always important to have a sort of a larger why, because journeys like these, they're not easy, obviously, right? This podcast is littered with these stories of people that do rebuild themselves, that build back up, that create new versions of themselves, phoenixes, if you will. But there's some times where it's like, fuck this, this is hard, I don't want to do this anymore, or this isn't working, or whatever. And it's important, I think, to have a why. Like, why am I doing this? To remind yourself, what was your why? What was your motivator when you had those down moments?
My motivation was my kids.
Amen.
Wow. They were already having abandonment issues with their mother leaving. And I wasn't going to make them go through more. I decided then and there, I'm going to be the best father I can be. And so they were my focus through it all. Because it would be unfair of me to not take care of myself. And that was my main motivator to really improve my mental health, is to help my kids. Because if I'm incapable, I can't help them.
Amen. Jesus, man. I mean, I'm sure we'll get to touch on some other things, but where are you now? Like, how do you feel now about where you're at in life? You know, what's your state of mental health currently?
I'm doing awesome. I still have my random depressed, but
sure.
They're very small and insignificant anymore.
Yeah.
And it still continues to grow. Like last week, I just noticed I whistle again when I'm just going about things, which I haven't done that in a long time. I caught myself doing it while at work last week, and oh shit, there's some more of me. All right.
Oh man.
So it's nice in a way. The journey never ends. I can continue to be building myself up and finding more and more of me, and I'm becoming happier because of it.
Oh, 100%. I know we haven't really touched on this, but you do lead meetings on Friday nights, and I'm thankful for you for doing that. How do you think that has helped, or what has that done for you during this journey?
I have noticed I've progressed a lot, not just my mental state, but as a person. And because that's one thing I do have to thank my ex-wife on, is if she hadn't have done this to me, I wouldn't be able to help as many people as I have helped.
Amen.
And so I love the opportunity being able to use my experiences and turn it into a positive. Yeah, I got screwed, but now I can help this guy out who may not have any other resource, but I'm able to be there now.
Yeah, it's such an important part of the journey. Why do you think? And I promised myself I was going to quit bitching about this, and I am going to. I'm not. It's not a bitching question. It's just why do you think other men? And I don't know what the answer to this is, if there is one even. But why do you think other men don't lean on that as well? Maybe they're not ready, or maybe it's just too hard. But why do you think it's so rewarding to give back? You know that. I know that. But why do you think other men don't do that?
Well, even though I think a lot of it is, they still have that stigma in the back of their mind of, we're supposed to be men, we're supposed to be strong. It's hard to share feelings. And also, sometimes once you get better, you try and stay away from it so you don't accidentally go down that rabbit hole again and end up in the same state of mind.
Yeah, and I agree, but I think it makes you stronger when you do, right? When you revisit those moments and you're able to dig yourself out again, it just makes you so much stronger, and it allows you to develop tools to handle. So if you've developed these tools to dig yourself out of these holes, you're going to be better off when other things in life hit you, because things are going to hit you, right? You're going to fucking flat tire, fucking engine blows up, fucking fire, whatever, right? You're going to have moments, you're going to have shit, just because that's what life's about. But I mean, not saying it's all shit, but shit is going to come. And the fact that you're able to lean on these things that you learned, I just think it makes you a better man all in all.
Oh yeah. Well, and anymore, my way I do it is I do it by exposure therapy. So
I like that.
There were some songs, you know, I tried for a long time to avoid things that would set me off.
Sure.
But I realized that when those depressive states hit, they were a lot lower.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try something new. And I tried exposure therapy. There was one time the song came on the radio that my ex walked down the aisle to. And it threw me through a loop for about 2 days. Yeah. And that was why I decided to try the exposure therapy. I listened to that song on repeat for a day till I became desensitized to it. And it doesn't bother me anymore. I rock out to it now.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, again, how did you stumble upon that? Where you're just like, this is something I don't want to be like this. I don't want this song or this memory to control me. But how did you stumble on that? Okay, fuck it. You know, that mentality of I'm gonna take this head on. But then, how did you come across exposure therapy or that sort of methodology?
So I tried the avoidance way, and I did that for about 6 months. And I realized I wasn't getting better. Yeah. And so I need to try something else. So I'm going to go the exact opposite and see what happens. And don't get me wrong, the first few times listening to that song killed me.
Yeah.
But I eventually got out of it. And I started dating myself. And I would take myself out. I call it master dating. So I wouldn't recommend going to a movie for your first master date. That is hard to do. But I started going and doing things that I wasn't allowed to do or she didn't want to do. And so I have a favorite restaurant that is my go-to anymore that we never went to. And I own sitting by myself. I put my phone on, I watch a movie, and I have an awesome dinner. And I enjoy myself. I take myself out to an arcade. I go throw hatchets. I have a fire. And so every weekend I don't have my kids. I date myself now.
I love it.
And it's teaching you to give yourself grace and love yourself and not stay in the slums.
Is there anything that you learned through this that you'll, you know, should another one come along, another relationship, is there anything that you learned that you'll either look out for or apply to the next one?
So we have our red flags that for me, I was in this state of mind and I'm starting to realize what was happening to me in this relationship. So this thing here, I'm not going to allow it to happen to me again.
Yeah.
And I have the subconscious behavior of backing down because I don't want to fight. I'm good at it, but I try to avoid it.
Sure.
And this comes into the self-aware aspect of things. When I'm backing down, I have the unconscious behavior. I look down and left. And so I tattooed a Jekyll and Hyde tattoo on my left forearm that when I look down and left, I see my Jekyll and Hyde tattoo. And nope, I'm doing it again. I'm being Dr. Jekyll right now. It's time for Mr. Hyde to come out. I'm not going to allow this shit to happen to me anymore.
That's some profound shit there, my friend. I mean, would you say, I mean, you kind of said it already, but I mean, you're a completely new man, would you say?
Oh yes. 100%.
And it didn't come by easily, right? You didn't stumble upon it. You put in a lot of work.
No, this is, I'm 18 months out now, somewhere in there. And I discovered a lot along the way, and I still discover stuff.
Sure.
And the more I discover, the better I become.
Man, I gotta tell you, man, I love your story. I love your outlook. I love your drive, your passion for self-awareness, for challenging yourself, for pushing yourself mentally. It's fucking admirable, man. Well, I think, I mean, we could touch on a couple of other things, but I think feel like we got a good bit out of this one. And so, I mean, obviously life will go on and hopefully I can, we'll bring you back. So let's wrap this one up and let's ask the last question that I ask everybody, which is, what words of wisdom would you impart to a man who's just starting his divorce journey?
I would say don't be afraid to show your emotion. There is no shame in it. I had a hard time crying in front of people, but it is so empowering to yourself to be able to do that. And there is no shame in getting help either. And give yourself grace on it.
Amen, brother. I want to thank you for doing this. Feels short, but I think it hit so many positive notes that I think it's enough to wrap up with. You're gonna continue, I hope, to lead the Friday night meetings. If that's the case, I'll go ahead and make that public announcement.
Yep, that's still my planning.
So Friday nights in our Discord server. Jared will lead meetings. I think we're looking at maybe changing it to 9 p.m. Eastern on Friday nights. Is that, I think that's what we touched on last time.
Yeah, that should be fine with me. I'm
Yeah.
open on Friday, so.
Awesome. So if anybody wants to join the Discord, the Discord is now up for paying members. Not too much controversy has come from that, but a little bit, but I think for me it was necessary. And I think it certainly this podcast and that server are worth $5 a month. So that said, if you are really struggling and you don't have a pot to piss in, just send me a message and we'll work it out. It really isn't about the money. I'm just trying to ensure, amongst other things, that I surround myself with people that really are committed to doing things like Jared just described. Because a lot of times, and Jared, you could probably speak to this, we see guys that come in and just don't want to do the work and just expect some kind of quick fix or just completely lean on anger. And I want to make sure I'm surrounding myself with those that really, really want to grow from this shit show that we didn't ask for.
And I would say that all of your emotions can be very helpful if guided in the right direction. Like, I had to learn how to curve my anger to where it helped me. And even my depressive moments, they were teaching moments that helped me get to where I am now.
Amen. Well, thanks, brother. I appreciate you doing this. And we'll be seeing you on Friday nights in the Discord.
All right, sounds good. See
All
you
right.
later.
Take care. Thank you so much for watching and or listening. Since my separation in July of 2019, I have done an incredible amount of work on myself. I've had many different therapists, life coaches, and went through different programs. I've taken all that I've learned and put it into my own program called Forged by Fire. If you are interested in having me help you navigate your divorce, please hit my website, risingphoenixdivorcecoach.com. I look forward to working with you.